Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Several years ago, my now wife Amy and I were traveling down to Florida from Kentucky, where we were in grad school. There was a raging forest fire on I-95. Some of you may even remember this. And Interstate 95 was closed north of Daytona Beach. And so we knew we needed to go that direction, and we were traveling down I-75 near Atlanta, and I thought, you know, we need to figure out what we're going to do so we can find a better way to get where we're going since I-95's closed. Now, this was in the days before either of my wife or I had smartphones. This was in the days before GPS was so readily available. So I did what I knew I could do. I called my brother. Because I was not the prepared person that keeps a map in the car at that point, at least a map of Florida when we were living in Kentucky. And so I called him and I said, okay, so this highway's closed, how can you get there? And he gave us some directions. He said, you take 16, and then after that, I have no idea what he said. Because we got on 16, but it wasn't Interstate 16. Because I hadn't caught that when he was giving the directions. And so our more excellent way to get to where we were going ended up taking us to South Carolina instead of Florida. And we had tried to cut some time off, but in doing so, in trying to find the better way to get where we were going, we ended up in the wrong place completely. And it took our drive a whole lot longer. Because we ended up having to take I-95 anyway and taking the detour that the government had put there instead of trying to find our own detour. And sometimes that happens to all of us, doesn't it? We think we're going where we want to go, but we discover we've gone the wrong way. And what we've done is ended up adding time or work to whatever project or whatever thing we're doing. Paul wants to avoid that when he is writing to this church in Corinth. You see, they're all new Christians, and he's been explaining to them and to us about spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, he goes on and on saying, listing off all the different spiritual gifts. Remember that? And then he talks about how each of them is like a part of the body, all of them coming together to do something, to be something greater than each individual part. He says, and even strive to these gifts. Strive for them. Work hard so that you can figure out what your gifts are. Work hard so that you can put them to work. But there is a more excellent way. A more excellent way. And that's how he begins chapter 13. The beginning of chapter 13 is right after he says there is a more excellent way. So he's talked about all these body parts and all of these spiritual gifts that we have, that the Spirit of God has poured out on all of us, which we read from Joel this morning. God has given us all these tremendous gifts, and we're supposed to work at them, but there's something even better than just discovering your gifts. He says, because if all you do is get your gifts, if all you do is discover that if you're able to speak in all the tongues, you are a polyglot, and you learn every language there is because you have the gift of tongues. If you don't use that gift with love, you're like that person's car alarm that never shuts up. He says, if you have the gift of prophecy and can tell truth to people in ways that they will hear it, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. And he goes on and on explaining that if you have these gifts, because you do have them, if you use them without love, the unconditional grace, the mercy of God, if you function in the body without them, you'll end up going the wrong way. You'll end up in South Carolina when you intend to be in Florida. This is the message of this love chapter. It's the core of everything with spiritual gifts. It's the core of who we are as the people of God. That if we do what we do and neglect the love for the other, we failed at doing everything that's important. He In 1876, a man named George MacDonald wrote a story. A story about a pastor, well, a curate, technically, named Thomas Wingfold. And the original title of the book is Thomas Wingfold, Curate. He was a real clever author with titling. It was later republished under The Curate's Awakening. And this story is about a pastor who gets up in front of his congregation, a smaller congregation than this one, every week. And he gets up and he preaches and he lectures and he talks. And then he goes and does his thing. But he doesn't believe a word of what he's saying. Either he never fell in love with God or he lost the love of God. And one Sunday morning, he's preaching and talking and a guest is there. And the guest is someone who isn't a person of faith, but is curious about faith. And that person calls him out on it after church. He says, "You don't believe a word of what you just said, do you, preacher?" And the story goes on from that because the pastor, this preacher, Thomas Wingfold, is convicted of his lack of faith, his lack of love of God. And then the rest of the story takes place of him discovering what it is to love God and love neighbor. It's a beautiful story, but it was written in the 1800s, so it's got a little flowery language if you ever want to track it down. But I think every one of us has an encounter with someone like that. Maybe it wasn't a pastor who had lost the love of God, but maybe it was a teacher who had lost the love of teaching. Maybe it was a nurse or a doctor who forgot that they were caring for people and just showed up, went through the motions, and left. Maybe it was a volunteer or an aid agency person who showed up and was kind of there and then left. All of these people have burned out. Maybe it was a social worker who was so tired of helping people they forgot they got into the job to help people. They've started exercising their gifts and lost love. Maybe that's been you. Maybe you've been burned out on using your gifts before. "Pastor, don't put me on another committee. I'm done. Give me something else to do." Maybe you've been burned out in your profession and said, "You know, I got 5 more years till retirement. I'm just going to keep going." Maybe you've been burned out on life and forgot what it's all about. See, this is what it looks like when you exercise the gifts and lose love. You just go through the motions and don't really get to do any real impact. When we lose the power, the whole reason for our gifts that we've been given, it ends up doing more harm than it does good. Because the last thing God wants any of us to experience is life just going through the motions. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the what? Fullest, most powerful experience you can imagine." And that's what life is like when you are exercising your gifts and operating out of love. So the question I have for us this morning is, how do we keep using our gifts and loving our neighbor? Well, part of it comes from a purpose. Everyone has a purpose for living. You may not know what it is, you may have never thought about it before, but you got out of bed this morning because you have some reason to get out of bed. And our church has a vision and mission statement. I know those are huge things back about 20 years ago, is figuring out what your mission statement is or what's your vision for your life. Our church's vision, it's printed on the front of the bulletin. You probably don't know it because it's hard to memorize. We'll fix that eventually. If you want to be a part of the vision team, see me after church. If you're burned out on being on administrative teams and don't see a future, don't see me after church. Our vision is to be and be known as a Christ-centered community of faith that loves people into loving Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, if I wanted to summarize that, I'd say our purpose for being here is to love people so that they can love God. That's the purpose for exercising our gifts. That's our church's purpose. Is we love people because God loves them and we want them to love God too. Right? The purpose of the gifts is for the building of the kingdom. The purpose of building the kingdom is that people will love God and experience God's wholeness, God's presence, God's life. And everything as our church flows out of that purpose. So my question for you this morning, for your reflection, for you to talk about over lunch when you go out with your friends, what's your purpose? God has given you tremendous gifts. God has given you a place to be and to exercise these gifts. What's your purpose? Why are you still here? Some of you jokingly say, well, I'm not dead yet, so God must have a reason for me to be here. Do you know the reason? I think there's a clue in this 1 Corinthians 13. And I think it has to do with love. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Maybe your purpose is to love people so that they can love God. Now, it may look different how you love people than how I love people. And it may look different how you love God and how I love God. For some of you, that may be making a phone call or visiting or sitting in a hospital room. We have a care team that does that, and they are amazing, and they are gifted in compassion and mercy. And they want you to know that you are loved and not forgotten. I do too, but I am more absent-minded than they are. You are not forgotten, even though you are not temporarily on my mind, I guess is how I should say it sometimes. Some of you are gifted in administration. And you want to love God and love neighbor by having the most efficient and orderly existence as possible. And some of you may volunteer in our church office and you answer phones so that when it rings, someone is there and can hear a friendly voice. Some of you keep track of membership records so that we know who people are and how long they've been here and whether or not they're still alive because they've been gone forever. And that's how you love God. Some of you cook or serve. Like I said this morning, there are at least three opportunities in this week alone where you can feed people. And that's a gift of hospitality. It's a gift of service. There are ways that you can exercise these gifts to love others and love God. Our church is really good at loving God and loving others. And we can get better. Because all of us together make it better. There's a trick, though, with love and loving others. It's your responsibility to love. It's your responsibility to respond with love. It is not your responsibility how the other person responds. Let me say that again. It is your responsibility as a child of God to love your neighbor. It is your responsibility as a child of God to love God. It is not your responsibility of your neighbor to love you back. That's the hard part. That's the really hard part about loving, is that it doesn't always come back to us. Like a sower or a farmer, we plant, we sow the seed, we love, we throw love out everywhere we go, and not everything grows, does it? This is the exercise of our gifts. Sometimes we exercise our gifts in love, and we don't get anything back. And when we get that confused with the fact that our responsibility is to love, our purpose is to love the other. When we think that our purpose is to love the other so that they will love us back or so that they will love God, that's when we get burnt out. That's when we become Thomas Wingfold, curate, standing before the congregation, preaching something we don't believe or that we don't care about. Because we thought that our responsibility was to change people and not to love people. Again, we end up in South Carolina instead of Florida. Where we're going is just a place of love. It's self-giving. It's self-pouring out so that people will know and love God. But it's not our responsibility to make them do that. a picture of a church that is doing what God has called. You see, there's an old story of a rabbi who got to go to heaven and hell in the same day. See, the rabbi goes into hell, and there's this pot. Yes, I said hell in church. Get over it. There's a big pot there, and there's people sitting all around this table just far enough away from the pot that they can't reach it. But they all have spoons that are about 3 feet long, and they can reach the pot and get the soup, but they can't turn it to get it in their mouth. And that's hell, right? They have all the tools they need to eat and can't eat, right? Heaven is in the next room, and the rabbi goes into this next room. And it's the same pot, the same table, the same spoons, all different people sitting around the table, and they're laughing and having a good old time because they're doing something different, because they get it. They've been given gifts, not for themselves, but for others. So they use the spoon and they feed the person across the table. That's heaven. That's the kingdom of God. We've been given gifts, not for ourselves, because it doesn't work for us, but for others. We love them. And so the people there are in heaven around the table are getting the soup out of the bowl and feeding the person across the table from them. This is the kingdom of God. This is what we're called to. This is who we are called to be. People who love others. And that's really the end of the story. You've been given gifts. You've been given a spoon, shown where the soup is, and it's your job to feed somebody else with it. Amen. If you're able, please stand with me as we join together in this affirmation of faith from 2 Timothy.